Hello, Toggy.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We were just chatting about how you had a pretty hectic time of it since being in Australia, jumping around the country, doing laneway, crisscrossing around, and you've been in Sydney for a few days, maybe had a bit of a chance to breathe. How's it been?
It's been incredible. It's nice to be in Australia when it's winter back in the States. So I've been just soaking it up and really enjoying the entire experience. It's a very unique, as I was saying earlier, it's a very unique kind of situation to be on a traveling tour with the same people as we don't have that in the States. So it's basically like summer camp. Yeah.
Has it become like a family vibe? Everyone sort of hangs out backstage, chats, and you sort of get to see them around the country.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, little squads of people that hang out outside of the festival. It's also a lot of faces and, you know, eventually you start to put faces with bands and remember names, but it takes a while.
a lot of artists on the bill, so yeah, it's hard to keep
lots
track.
Of bands as well, so there's lots of people in not just one artist, it's five people in one artist. Anyways, yeah.
And I caught you said on Sunday night, just basically finished off the festival here in Sydney on Sunday, and it was a funny vibe. I think everyone was very tired, but then you came on stage and everyone, I feel like, rejuvenated their energy, like one last burst of energy. And like you said at the start of the set, you're going to take us on a journey. And I feel like that's what your set was. It was really, you just sort of took us along and you sort of, you know, went up and down. It was big sort of excitement bits and then quieter bits, but everyone went along with it. How did you feel it went? And is that something that you really think about when you're doing a live show, that journey?
Absolutely. You know, I think that when you are able to present your music in a live setting, you want to give someone something different than they just, you know, listen to on Spotify or something. You know, you want to create a unique experience. And in that way, you know, it's not just you guys, you know, the audience watching me. It's me being present with the audience as well. And I think that's why it's nice to have kind of this journey-esque kind of set. Or that's the way that I approach it, just because it's not constant bangers or it's not just quiet the entire time. You have these moments to breathe, these moments to become introspective. You have moments to be excited and, you know, hopefully at the end, everyone has a true experience and they don't just feel like they watched me, but they were there with me.
I feel like, you do create that vibe in the crowd. And I think people went along with you, which is really great. I'm going to rewind a little bit because I read that you were basically forced into piano lessons at a young age, which I was as well. And despite the hassle of practicing, it became something that I, you know, obviously enjoyed, and I learned how to read music and all that sort of stuff. Do you remember when that point was when you got past the hassle of practicing and then you went, oh, music, this is something that I really like to do and practice and do, you know, in my own time. But do you remember what point that was?
I think very early on, I mean, even before I had piano lessons, I would always start pressing keys. I don't know if it sounded any good, but, you know, once there was more logic and knowledge about how melodies are made and how music works and how to use a piano and how to press multiple keys to create a whole other sound via chords. You start to experiment a bit. But, you know, I lived in a household that wasn't very pro creativity, you know. Taking piano lessons was, I think, more just for, I don't know, prestige or whatever. Well, I don't know why parents to do something artistic, you know, culture maybe, you know. And I guess like it wasn't encouraged. I think whenever I tried to make music on my own or just, you know, play things on the piano that were not Beethoven, etc., you know, my mom would just complain, saying like, "What are you playing? You know, you need to practice. You don't finish." Like the running joke in my family is that I don't finish playing an entire like classical piece from start to finish.
Okay.
Yeah. And the main reason being is because I might not like the entire song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the truth. Like, you know, you play some classical piece. It's long. It's repetitive. And there's also different movements, right? So I might like one part of it, but whatever it turns into next, I might not like. So I kind of refer to it as like classical sampling.
And this is why in your music, maybe you do go for a different range of styles. Like we were saying before, it's that journey, but also you seem to sample sort of different cultures and different parts of your life in your music. Is that something you're really conscious of when you're making the music, or you're just sort of depending on what you feel like on the day?
I think, you know, my music is just a product of me, my life, and all the things I've listened to up until now. I don't think I make a conscientious effort to be like, today I'm going to make an extra, I don't know, happy song that incorporates these elements of my heritage. Or I don't think it's outward, but I mean, sometimes it could be a bit, you know, I can set an intention and be like, oh, you know, today is a day where I feel like I want to use really traditional Korean instruments, for example, because I'm Korean American. Or I just want to see the, it's more like creatively challenging myself at times, but it's not like an intention where like, I want this to be a weird song. You know, it might end up being kind of weird, but you know.
Well, I guess there is that challenging yourself and coming up with new ideas and new ways of creating music. I read that you started out looking, you know, using Fruity Loops, which you know is one of those classic tools that you learn when you're a kid and how to loop things and make some strange sounds and stuff. Nowadays, what do you use to sort of create your music, and do you sort of grab samples and things from other places as well?
I use Ableton. I don't really sample anymore. It's not a very good climate to be sampling in this day and age. I mean, the good thing is, you know, just because you can't sample someone else's music doesn't mean you can't create the essence or the spirit of sampling by maybe recording yourself. And so, yeah, I use Ableton, and it's like DAWs, these things that you use to create.
Yeah.
For me, technology is a very strong point of creating and producing. So I'm not married to any one thing. There could be a point at which I stop using Ableton if I find something else that I like more. There might be a point where I'll start using Fruity Loops again once they get it ported completely to the Mac, which is happening.
All right, there we go.
And use both, you know, because you can rewire one into the other. So, you know, the technological possibilities are endless and constantly growing, and that helps further facilitate, you know, an artist creatively.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Now, music, I have read the story, and it was a really interesting story, and I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, but I wanted to bring it up because it's quite a rare thing. Moyamoya disease, something that you were diagnosed with around 18 months ago, which caused you to actually stop listening to music and really even understanding what you were hearing music-wise. Can you tell us about that time and how you battled through it?
It was actually the end of 2015 in December when I was diagnosed with Moyamoya. Okay. And to kind of briefly explain what it is, the arteries that supply blood to your brain, you have like one artery on the left, one on the right to feed the left brain and the right brain. They essentially just shut off. And it's not due to cholesterol or anything like that. The blood vessels themselves start to shrink.
Wow.
Almost like a circus balloon, like those, that kind of vibe. And it's, you can't really, you know, live with no blood to your brain. So it was a pretty big diagnosis, and it was a frightening time. But in the same kind of moment, I think I just attacked it kind of through a problem solving mentality. So as soon as I found out I had it, I decided to do a surgery for it right away. And the surgery would essentially create other ways for blood to reach your brain, almost like freeways. Like if you have two highways that shut down, creating new highways and just get like finding a way for the cars to still reach their destination. And that's basically we just repiped all the blood work in my head.
Wow.
And the surgery was completely successful. You know, I can go skydiving. I could do lots of dumb things that I probably won't do after that experience. But I think the worst part was just the recovery. And even though the surgery was successful, there are some ways that that surgery impacted my mental faculties. I was able to think. So, you know, if I was like, I was tired, I wanted to do something.
Yeah.
All those things were still there, but I had no way to communicate that because for some reason, the area of my brain that used speech was broken. The area of my brain that understood music also broke with it. And the doctors couldn't explain. The doctors will tell you in advance that you might lose your speech.
Right.
They said usually it'll come back. But doctors, I think on average, people are less concerned about their ability to listen to music. So that I was not expecting. So when I lost one, I lost the other as well. And so I couldn't talk to anyone. I also couldn't understand anyone.
Wow.
So English, essentially my first language, became a foreign language to me. So I could see people were talking to me and I wanted to say things to them, but I couldn't talk more than like a 2-year-old, basically. But in my head, I had complicated thoughts there. And, and then I had no music to use as solace. You know, I had nothing to escape to help me feel good. Everything was just like being in a white room.
I can't imagine that. I mean, for me, music is just a constant soundtrack in my head, you know.
And it's everywhere as well, you know, even when you're not, you don't want to listen to it, it's playing in it. It's playing in an Uber, it's playing in a store, it's playing at the grocery market, in the elevator. And it just creates a world where it's just more noisy. It just, you don't hear the subtleties of music kind of soundtracking your life.
Full credit to get through that. It must have been a really stressful time, but you've remained positive and, you know, you've come out the other side and you know you're making music again. And I mean, just was, it must have been a time, was there a time there where you thought, oh, how am I going to get through this?
You know, the one good thing about my, positive thing about my experience is every day that passed, I could tell it was getting a little better. So, you know, maybe one day I wouldn't be able to, I could only use a few words, very little grammar. And then the next day, I can find that I could use a few more words, a little bit more grammar. And the music also eventually softened from noise, and my brain was able to compute it into music. Mm. And it was an interesting way to understand how music works. It's all mathematic. Music is complicated. Yeah. It can also explain why some people don't like certain songs and some people like others. It's the way that you understand it is differently.
I think it takes us back to why our parents teach, make us learn piano when we're young, because it's a way of getting our brains stimulated. And also, I think it helps in learning in general.
Yeah, I'll make sure to force my kid to do the same thing one day when I have a kid. Not yet. But
Well, it's a really amazing story. Quickly, I'll talk about, you've collabed with a lot of great artists, including getting Anderson .Paak up on stage on the weekend.
Were you there for that?
I was there, and I saw him last night. I saw him on Sunday, and I saw him last night at the Metro, and he's an outstanding performer. Now, I feel like you've almost peaked getting collaborating with Anderson .Paak, but if there was an artist that you could work with, anyone you could collaborate with, who's your dream person?
I get asked this a lot. I have two, and I always say the same two. It's Bjork.
Yeah.
And Missy Elliott. Those are the two tops for me.
Yeah.
Just because I find their creative, I mean, I don't know what their creative process is, but the way that they work creatively just seems so interesting and fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we'd make good music. I think I just want to be in a room with them and see how they approach creating.
Yeah.
Because
I think Bjork would be amazing to watch her at work. She was here doing a DJ set like a couple of years ago.
That must have been wild. I can't even imagine.
I know. And I didn't actually get to see it. I was really upset. But she apparently just the way she, her creative forces behind her is so definite. She knows exactly what she wants to do and she just does it that way and doesn't care what everyone else thinks.
And I respect that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming down to 2SER. I wanted to play a song with your Korean American heritage. I love bibimbap. And I love the song that you created, bibimbap. And is that something, do you like to eat? Is that a...
I mean, I'm wondering if like maybe I just subconsciously, purposely named the song that because I'm like, well, if people like the food, then maybe they'll like the song.
Maybe. It inspired me to listen to it.
Yeah.
Now, you're playing here in Sydney at Manning Bar. I think it's tomorrow night.
Yes.
And that'll be probably your last time in Sydney before you head off further on Laneway and until next time we come back. But thank you so much for popping on down. Good luck with the rest of the festival.
Thank you.
And trip back when you go back, the long flight back to America. Mm-hmm. He's bibimbap right now. I had the wrong song on. Here we go. Ducky, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
See ya.
Yep, bye.